For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Amateur Traveler, episode 168. Today, the Amateur Traveler goes to Key West, Florida. We'll be talking about Jimmy Buffett and Hemingway and how to catch a lobster today in the Amateur Traveler. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get started with today's interview, I have two news stories for you. One is a continuation of last week's story. Remember, nine Muslims got kicked off an Air Trans flight, and then even after the FBI told the airline it was okay to let them back on, that this had been a misunderstanding, the airline refused. Not surprisingly, the airline has since issued an apology. In the other failure to communicate story, Dwayne Kurtzik set out to try and win an Amtrak annual photo contest, hoping to win $1,000 in travel vouchers. So he went to New York's Penn Station and was arrested for taking pictures. He was told it was illegal to take photos of trains. I believe the right-handed Amtrak does not know what the left hand is doing. For more information about both of those stories, as well as other news items, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show Casey Wolf, who is the author of The Girl's Getaway Guides, also known as The Getaway Girl. Casey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
And one of the books that you have written is The Girl's Getaway Guide to Key West, which is what I invited you on the show to talk about today. So why Key West? Why should someone go to Key West? It's a little out of the way.
It is a little out of the way, but you know what? It is America's only Caribbean island, if you think about it, aside from Puerto Rico.
How about the American Virgin Islands?
Well, as far as on the mainland of the U.S., this is our only true Caribbean island. And I talked to a lot of people, and I've been going to Key West ever since I was a child. My family and I, we go down for lobster season every year. And the more people I talked to, they said, hey, we're going to Key West. They said, I've never been to Key West. And I said, how can you never have gone to America's premier island? So anyway, so I decided to write a book about it.
Okay. And what is it that you would like people to know about Key West? Who should go to Key West?
I think really Key West has something for everybody. So therefore, anyone should go, anyone and everyone. The tropical, it's the island feel. You've got water sports. You've got a ton of art and culture. They have a plethora of art galleries there, a lot of history. The Ernest Hemingway House is there. There's a lot of museums there. They have theater. They have some live theater. And then you have all your outdoor sports. You have everything from parasailing to diving and snorkeling. You have the beaches, kayaking, fishing, and everything in between. So Key West has a lot of really, really neat history. There's been a lot of very interesting characters who have either visited Key West or made their homes there. So there's a lot to learn about a really cool city in the U.S.
And often when we're doing this show, I'll be talking about what kind of itinerary would we do for a 1 or a 2 week vacation. Key West is a little smaller destination. How much time would you recommend somebody take for a trip to Key West?
I would recommend at least 3 or 4 days.
Okay. A long weekend, though.
Exactly. And you know what a lot of people do is they'll go to Miami and they'll spend a few days in Miami and then drive down to Key West. It's a 3-hour drive from Miami to Key West. So they get a little bit of Miami and then they also get a little bit of Key West as well. So I know that's a very popular trip for a lot of people.
And then slowing it down a little bit, what would you recommend we do? We've got 3 or 4 days in Key West. What do we get up and do the first day?
The very first day, you want to catch a ride on the Conch train. It's a train, it's been in Key West for decades, and basically it's an open-air train, and you get on it, and there's a driver, and he's also your tour guide. So that's what I tell everyone to do the very first day in Key West, because it really helps you understand the island and also get your bearings of where you're going and where things are. So that would be the very first thing you do.
And that's going to take me around to various sites. What sites is it going to take me around to?
Exactly. It's going to take you to the Ernest Hemingway House.
Okay.
It's also going to take you through what they call Old Town, which is a really neat part of Key West. And, you know, along the way, they're going to give you points of interest, a little bit of history.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's always a good thing to do. It's a 90-minute tour, and it begins at the Front Street Depot and ends in Mallory Square. So it basically makes a whole loop, and there are a few short stops where you can get off and see the sights and then catch a later train. So it's a really great train. It's narrated by a driver and just a really good little tour.
And then you mentioned the Ernest Hemingway House. So this is a house where Hemingway lived when he was writing?
This was Hemingway's house when he lived in Key West. Mm-hmm. He wrote several of his novels there. I think A Farewell to Arms was the more popular ones that he actually wrote in Key West. But to stop by there, get a tour of the house, Hemingway was an amazing person and had so many neat stories about him. So they really tell you a lot about his personal life, his professional life, a lot of his friends. They said he built this house near the lighthouse. So when he was downtown at the bars and a little intoxicated, he could find his way home via the lighthouse. So there's all kinds of neat stories. I mean, he's got all these six-toed cats. So they tell you everything about Hemingway. So it's really entertaining and pretty informative about a man who lived a very vivacious life.
Okay. And then what else should we see while we're in Key West? What are the other sights then?
There's so much to see, really. I mean, it really depends on what you're interested in. Like I said, there's a ton of art galleries. So anyone who's interested in the art galleries, you could spend all day going in and out of galleries. For the people that really like the outdoors, there's so much to see. You may do a conch train tour of Key West, but then you may say, hey, you know, I want to go take a seaplane ride. There's also the Dry Tortugas, which are a set of islands, and you can take either a plane or a boat and spend a day going to see the Dry Tortugas as well.
There's a national park in the Dry Tortugas. We talked about that in the national park episode we did.
Oh, good, good. So your fans are already aware of it. Another thing that everyone has to do, Key West is the southernmost point of the U.S., and there's a little, I guess you'd call it like a statue, like a painted, it's actually a painted buoy, but it's concrete at the very southernmost point. And so everyone has to go there and get your picture taken. So they say it's about 100 miles from Key West to Cuba. So it's always a popular place for people to go and get the typical tourist picture.
And then let's talk about your experiences. When you first went down to Key West, what surprised you?
I think what has surprised me the most over the years is how much Key West has changed.
Okay.
I remember it being kind of, I'd say, kind of tacky T-shirt stores and not a whole lot going on. You got your fishing and just kind of a little island town that didn't have a lot to offer in other areas. And I think today what surprised me going back some 20 years later is, gosh, you have amazing restaurants. I mean, the food there is incredible. Of course, the seafood is incredible. You can find basically everything from a German restaurant to a tapas-style restaurant to French restaurants and everything in between in Key West. And then also you've got your shopping. There's really neat stores that you can go in and out and go shopping in. There's just something for everybody. But that's what's impressed me the most with Key West is how far they've come. But what I love about Key West versus other cities is that they've still kept their true culture. They're still very much on island time down there. They call themselves the Conch Republic, which if you talk to anyone in Key West, anyone who is born and raised on the island is what they consider a conch.
Okay.
If you've been there for more than 7 years, you're a freshwater conch. So they take a lot of pride in their Conch Republic and being a conch or being a freshwater conch. They really make sure that even though there's a ton of things to do for tourists, they still keep a very tight community knit group on the island itself.
And you mentioned lobsters, and I was a little surprised. I know that, as do the listeners who subscribe to the Amateur Traveler newsletter, who saw the quiz I sent out recently, that 90% of lobster production in the U.S. is from Maine. So I don't think of Key West naturally when I say lobsters. So is this the similar to the kind of lobster we're familiar with from the big Maine lobster, or is it different?
It is different. They are what people call Florida spiny lobsters.
Okay.
They don't have claws, per se, like the Maine lobsters, but they do have little horns and some spines on their back. But the last week in July is when we all always go down to the Keys, and we actually are about 15 or 20 minutes north of Key West. But we go down, and they call it mini season or sportsman season. And basically, the last Wednesday and Thursday in July is open to the public. And as long as you have a lobster stamp and a freshwater fishing license, you can go and everyone can get 6 lobster per person per day.
Okay.
So it's a very popular time in the Keys itself, but especially in Key West.
And when you say get a lobster, you're out there snorkeling, scuba, how are you getting the lobster?
Most people do actually put on a tank and go diving for them, but sometimes the water's shallow enough where you can just snorkel and get them. It's quite the feat. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone catch lobsters this way versus a trap.
No.
You don't use a trap. You actually use a net and what we call a tickle stick. So you go down and you'll see the lobster in their little hole, and you'll put the net behind them, and then you use your stick to kind of tickle them, and lobsters will shoot backwards. That's how they swim.
Okay.
So they'll shoot backwards right into the net, and you just scoop them up. And you got to be pretty quick, and if you're snorkeling, you got to be able to hold your breath. And there's definitely a trick to the trade, but like I said, we've been doing it since I was a kid, so it's a lot of fun, and anyone should at least try it. You might get a little frustrated, but at least go down and try it.
Okay. And you mentioned you weren't staying in Key West, so that brings up the question of where to stay. There are more than one island down here.
Exactly. What people don't realize is that the Florida Keys is actually about 800 keys or little islands, and it's about 180 miles through what we call the actual Florida Keys, and there's 42 bridges that connect each of these little islands. So there's places along the way to stay if you don't want to stay necessarily in Key West. There's Marathon, there's Isla Mirada, there's some bigger areas, but certainly from a culture and a nightlife and wide range of activities, Key West is the place to stay.
But you don't.
Well, I do when I go to Key West. When I go with my family, we stay about 20 minutes north because that's where we go to lobster. But when I go with my girlfriend, we definitely stay in Key West.
So Key West more for the nightlife and possibly if you're looking for more solitude or quiet, a little further up the Keys.
A little further up. I mean, you can still find that downtime in Key West as well. Like I said, it's very island feel, but if there's other things that you want to do, if you're more into the sport fishing, there may be other keys along the way that you'd rather stay at.
And do you have other ones that you would recommend?
I would. Isla Mirada is what they call the fishing capital of the Keys.
Okay.
Great for sport fishing. Just driving down US 1, you'll see when you get to Isla Mirada, you'll see all the charter boats lined up and you'll see them right from the road. So you can definitely see that that's the place to go sport fishing.
And sport fishing, we're talking marlin in this area?
We're talking marlin, we're talking what we call kingfish, also dolphin, not flipper dolphin, but what we call mahi-mahi.
Which is the fish, not the mammal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's always very popular. But yeah, marlin, sailfish, grouper fishing, we go snapper fishing at night, so there's a ton of fish to catch.
One warning you'd give about going down to Key West.
One warning I would say is don't expect things to be happening very quickly. If you're on a very specific time frame, be careful. Like I said, they're on island time. Try to make as many plans before you go down as possible. For instance, I was going down with some of my girlfriends last year, and on the way down, we were trying to rent some scooters and get some other things lined up, and people didn't call us back till the next day, till we were already down there. So they're on island time. But also, that's a good way to see the island of scooters or bicycles as well.
Okay. And when would you recommend a visit? We're tropical, so should we avoid the heat of the summer, for instance?
Most people do. I think the peak time to visit is probably December through April or May.
Okay.
I mean, the temperature is always wonderful. I think the average temperature is around 80 year-round. But like you said, the summer months are very hot, very steamy, and also you have hurricane season, which is June through December.
And then we talked about restaurants. Did you have a couple to recommend for us? When you're in Key West, don't forget to eat at.
Oh, gosh. I have so many. Probably, even if you ask the locals, hey, where do I have to go eat when I'm in Key West? People are going to say Blue Heaven.
Okay.
And Blue Heaven is not your typical restaurant. The food is amazing. They make a lot of things there from scratch. It's delicious. But the atmosphere is what makes Blue Heaven so unique. It is actually in a, I'll call it a facility that used to be an old pool hall back years and years and years ago. And it's in a part of town they call Bahama Village.
Okay.
And you are going to see chickens running around the restaurant. They do have indoor seating, but then they also have outdoor seating. And last time we were there, we ate on a picnic table. It was painted blue, and it had bright yellow sunflowers all over it. And so you see the chickens running around. And typically at night, they have live music. But if someone's never been to Key West, I take them straight to Blue Heaven.
Okay.
In addition to Blue Heaven, there's a few other restaurants. As I mentioned, the French restaurant Croissants de France is owned by an actual Frenchman. The food is amazing. You can get everything from fresh baguettes to pastries and everything in between. It's just wonderful. Also, there's a restaurant called La Tida, which specializes in drag queen shows and cabaret shows while you eat. So that's also not to be missed.
Okay.
There's Louis' Backyard, which is not right on the main strip, Duval Street. It's a little off the beaten path. but they have amazing food as well. They actually have three different level decks that overlook the water. So you can sit close to the water, you can kind of be inside. But this is, from what I hear from the locals, a popular spot when Jimmy Buffett comes into town. Okay. Sometimes you'll catch him at Louie's backyard. And then another place that I really like is a place called Turtle Crawls, and it's K-R-A-A-L-S. And what's neat about this place is people don't know, years and years and years ago, it used to be legal to harvest turtles. So this was the old cannery, the old turtle cannery, and they've converted it into a restaurant. And on Monday and Friday evenings, they have turtle races, which are a lot of fun. So you've got good food there, and you've got some entertainment as well.
Now, you mentioned Jimmy Buffett. You were saying that Key West 20 years ago, tacky T-shirt shops and such, and I had this picture of Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville.
Yes.
This really is the place that he was describing 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. This is Margaritaville. Okay. He's got a signature restaurant down there, and one of the locals showed me where, and you would never even know, never even cross your mind, but they showed me where his secret recording studio is, which is right near the heart of the action. So people walk by it every day and have no idea it's Jimmy Buffett's recording studio.
Okay. The best day you've had in Key West?
If anyone has a bad day in Key West, I would be amazed. You know, it doesn't get any better than sun and sand and beach and beautiful sunsets, but a lot of fun I had a few years ago. A friend of mine and I went down to the Key West Songwriters Festival.
Oh, interesting.
And this is where they bring a lot of country music songwriters and singers from Nashville. And they come down and they play at a lot of the local bars and restaurants. And that was a lot of fun. That was actually not one day, but a couple days. Because you can meet the songwriters, you can talk to them, you can listen to their music. They'll tell a story about the song or why they wrote it. You're in an island, you're enjoying the sun and the sand and everything. So that was an amazing experience. I really enjoyed that.
Okay. And you mentioned sun, surf, and sand. Anything we should know in terms of beaches? Best beach to go to?
Obviously, there's a few beaches in Key West. I wouldn't say Key West is known for its beaches, maybe like, you know, Miami and South Beach, but they do offer quite a few beach options for people going down there. Fort Zachary Taylor Beach is probably one of the more popular ones for the locals. It is located in Fort Zachary Taylor State Park, which does require an admission fee. But it's popular for snorkeling, it's got lots of tropical fish. It gets deep very quickly, so you got to look out for that. But that's one reason why it's such a good place for snorkeling. And it also has a little bit of a rocky bottom. But you can go there, and they have a little restaurant there. You can rent lounge chairs. It's just a really nice, kind of secluded beach. And then you also have Higgs Beach, which is free to everyone. It's located on the eastern side of the island. And then South Beach is located at the very end of Duval Street. And it's a shallow, sandy beach and typically packed with tourists. So if that's what you're looking for, the sandy, shallow beach, then that's where you should go. And then the last beach is Smathers Beach, which is located on Roosevelt Boulevard, and it's the island's largest public beach, running along the southern shore for about 2 miles. And they have beach activities there, ranging from volleyball to water sports and beach sport rentals, too.
In terms of planning resources for a trip down there, we're obviously going to recommend your book. What is the second best tip that you have for going down to Key West? We'll save the best tip, let people get the book and find that out, but what's the second best tip?
Well, obviously, like the Key West Chamber of Commerce has a lot of information. They're a great resource for anyone going down there.
Okay.
And then you also have the Florida Keys and the Key West Tourist Development Council.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them online or call them on their 1-800 number, but they're a really good source of information as well.
Okay. The most memorable person you've met in Key West?
That's a good question. I'd probably say the most memorable person I've met in Key West is Captain Tony. And Captain Tony is, obviously, was a captain. He has his own saloon. It's called Captain Tony's Saloon. And it was the home of the original Sloppy Joe's.
Oh, okay.
And this was the famous Key West bar that was a favorite hangout of Ernest Hemingway. Obviously, Captain Tony used to hang out with Ernest Hemingway, so that's why I think he's pretty memorable. But Captain Tony took over the bar in 1958, and then he sold it again in 1990. I mean, he just did so many amazing things. He has so much history of the island, or had. He passed away this year, unfortunately. But he was mayor of Key West at one point. Just a very, very colorful personality. And just made your trip to Key West a very memorable one. A friend of mine, every time she went to Key West, she had to go into Captain Tony's. And if he wasn't there, she wanted to know when he was going to be there, because, you know, she wanted her picture taken with him. And despite being, I think he was 91 years old when he passed away this year, he definitely, definitely loved the ladies. So if you went and took your picture with him, ladies beware, because he was going to be grabbing something or trying to kiss you or something. So I'd say he was probably the most memorable person met in Key West because he just really epitomized the whole free life, colorful personalities that are down there.
Do you have any places that you'd recommend to stay?
I do. One of my favorite places to stay, and I just was there last year, is the Casa Marina Resort.
Okay.
It's one of the oldest hotels on the island, and construction was started in 1912, and it was finally completed in 1921. And this, again, is not on the main strip of Duval Street, but we rented bikes and rode our bikes from the resort down to Duval Street. But they have a private 1,100-foot beach. You can get beachside massages. They just went through a $43 million renovation. So it's a very neat resort, not just because it's one that you can stay at anywhere, but it definitely represents a lot of the history of Key West.
Okay.
But then you also have your modern conveniences.
And you say resort, I think mid to high end then in terms of cost?
I would say mid to high end.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there's also great bed and breakfast there as well. One of my favorites is Simonton Court, which they have like little cottages that you can rent. And then when I was just down there for Fantasy Fest, we stayed at the Artist House, which was a really neat house, bed and breakfast. You can really find everything and anything you are looking for in Key West. If you want to stay kind of where the heart of the action is, there's resorts, there's everything you could find, but then there's also hotels that are not right there on the main strip, but a lot of them do offer shuttle services from the hotel to Duval Street.
And hang on, you were just down there for what?
I was down there for Fantasy Fest. Fantasy Fest, I would say it's an island-style Mardi Gras.
Okay.
Is how I would describe it. And basically, it's around Halloween each year. And it's probably the island's biggest party. And you will see some costumes. You will see some costumes that are painted on people with their clothes on.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah. Pretty much anything goes at Fantasy Fest. I probably spent the first day down there being totally shocked at what I was seeing and the lack of clothing. But you kind of get used to it. You kind of work through it. But people love it. I mean, we talk to people, and they've been coming there from out in the Midwest. They love it. They can come and be totally carefree.
All
but
right.
This is where I went, and I launched my book, and I hosted the first annual booty party. And even though that sounds a little scandalous, the theme of Fantasy Fest this year was pirates, pundits, and political party animals. So we went with the pirate theme and going off on pirate booty, and we actually did a fundraiser for Womankind, which is a nonprofit in Key West that helps women fund healthcare. So we did that, and we had a bachelor and bachelorette auction and raised about $2,000 for them.
Excellent. As we go to wind this down, finish the sentence for me. You really know you're in Key West when...
You know you're in Key West when you are enjoying a fabulous piece of key lime pie and watching the sunset in Mallory Square.
Okay. And if you had to summarize Key West in three words, what three words would you use?
Is laid back one word or two?
I will give you that as one.
I would say laid back, interesting, and colorful.
Great. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, the guidebook is Girls Getaway Guide to Key West. You also have one for Orlando, but we had talked about Orlando, so we decided to talk about Key West today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And then we should say you also have a website that I will link to in the show notes, which is the girlsgetawayguide.net.
Yes, yes.
And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
In Internet Resources, I have one resource for you today, and that is whichbudget.com. And WhichBudget is a guide to various budget airlines. So you can pick a particular country and then see what budget airlines serve that country. So check that out, whichbudget.com. In news from the community, I'd have to say the highlight of my week, or at least one of the highlights, was running into John at the Macworld Expo, who told me how much he loved the show and that he'd been inspired to book a trip to New Zealand. So, John, bon voyage. I got an email from Eric Smith after last week's show on Israel. He says, I just wanted to write you a quick note to let you know how much I enjoyed the recent podcast on Israel. I've always wanted to visit. Now you and your guest have me looking at flight info. That had to be my favorite podcast next to 121 America's National Parks. Well, America's National Parks happens to have been the show that I referenced today about the dry tortugas. And, of course, our guest happens to have been Eric Smith, who sent me the email. I did get a number of comments that people liked that episode, and Doug and I have talked about having him come back on in a few months and doing a more in-depth episode on just Jerusalem, since we did an overview in the last episode on all of Israel. With that, we'll bring this episode of The Amateur Traveler to a close. Remember, we are having a travel writing contest to win a copy of the book First Stop in the New World. Send me a blog post about your favorite city. If you want to send me any other information, feel free to comment on the show at amateurtraveler.com or send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
One more cathedral, I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.